Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Got a few things before we get started. First, I want to welcome my mom and dad right here beside Amanda to come to join us today. I know my mom hates me putting her on the spot, but I didn't make you stand up. So, also, we had a great time at the retreat last weekend. It was a lot of fun. I hope the leaders have recovered this week and rested. Speaking of that, if you were a leader at the youth retreat, could you stand up for me? Just give them a hand. Mr. Jonathan Dillon helped as well. I don't think he was able to be here today. But just a huge shout out to them. They made it go so easy. It was fun. It was a great time. And Zach and Nikki Holler brought the messages for us. It was a good time. It was a really good time we had. Also, I told them I would announce it. We did a little fun game where we hid coins around the camp for the weekend, and these kids were high and low on the ground, digging, looking, and we had a tie. So we had a king and a queen of the retreat. We had Zach Hutchins was the king, and Kara Henderson was the queen of the retreat. So, and I believe Kara's serving in nursery, so that's just a beautiful testament to the youth that we have here at Father's Vineyard. But I would like for us to, if you won't mind, turn into the book of Exodus chapter 3. So I'm going to touch a little bit on what we talked about this weekend, because this past weekend really led into what the Spirit led on my heart to bring to you guys this morning. So we talked about being holy ground, being the temple of God. That's what this shirt is. That's why I'm wearing a t-shirt today. And I think a couple of our leaders may have had them on. I think Amanda does. I think Sean does. And it's out of Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. But one thing that really stuck with me was Saturday night we talked about letting go, that we were called to let go of something. And so we talked about Moses. And when Moses is out, and he's a shepherd, and he's out in the wilderness, he's at the mountain, and he sees a burning bush. And the bush is on fire, but it's not withering away. It's just staying the same, and it's just on fire. And he's just so intrigued by this bush that he goes, and he's talking, and he hears God say, "Here I," and he says, "Moses, Moses," and he says, "Here I am." So we pick up in verse 5 of that chapter, Exodus chapter 3. It says, "Then he said, 'Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.'" And we talked about this passage and what it means for us. We talked about how your shoes have dirt and grime, and God's saying, and imagine what Moses' sandals looked like. You know, we talked about he probably had sheep dung, and he had all this dirt and just nasty stuff on his sandals, and so he was taking this off. But it wasn't about the dirt. It wasn't about the grime. He was saying, put these aside. And we talked about how that could be, maybe you're putting aside your shame. Maybe you have guilt. Maybe you're trying to fight a battle on your own. Maybe you're battling depression. Maybe you're battling anxiety. Whatever it is, he's saying, cast it aside. Because this is holy ground. I'm here to defeat those things. I'm here to tear those boundaries down, to tear those barriers down in your life. And so we have to cast them aside. And so we were talking about letting go of something. You know, I had something on my heart, and I realized there was something I had to let go of this weekend. And so I was sitting there, and I was thinking, God, why am I trying to fight this battle on my own? Why am I trying to figure this thing out by myself when you clearly said that you're there with us and you clearly said, give it to me and I'll do it? And so that reminded me of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." And that verse just kept resonating over and over in my head this weekend. This past weekend, I thought, man, I was like, I have been leaning on my own understanding. I've been leaning on a crutch, and it's broken. I realized that, God, I need to give this thing, I need to let go, I need to give it to you. I need to let you have it. I need to let you face this battle for me. And so he's saying, and so I kept hearing him saying, lean on me. Give it to me. Come to me. Let me have it. Let me battle this. Let me tear down this barrier in front of you. Let me figure out this problem you're having, because I know the answer. Even when I don't know the answer, God knows the answer. And so I want to go to Matthew chapter 11. We're kind of jumping around this morning. Verses 29 through 30, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Jesus made it simple. I say it all the time. What Jesus did is he made it simple. It doesn't make it easy, but he made it simple. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Take it upon me. So I was reminded of this verse, and I was reminded of a story of something that happened to me. I was helping a really good friend and his dad one day build a retaining wall, and I don't know if you guys know what that is, but you stack the little bricks on top of each other. And we were building a retaining wall, but we had dug out all the dirt behind it. And we spent probably 2 or 3 hours putting this wall together. And I'm like, man, I'm tired, so I sat down on the wall. Well, there's nothing behind the wall, so I just destroyed like 2 or 3 hours of work. And it just collapsed on itself. I'll never forget my friend's dad, a very calm person, but I could see it was a little bit of frustration in his eyes. But what I was remembered of this story, and I thought, man, isn't that just a perfect example of what it's like to build something on our own foundation, to try to fight a battle on our own, to try to figure out this life on our own. That's a beautiful picture of that. On the surface, the wall looked great. We spent hours meticulously putting it in place, putting it together to where it looked like it was supposed to. But then when I tried to sit on it, there was no backing to it. I'll never forget when it got the dirt filled and I went back and we was kind of joking around. I sat at the same spot. And then that's all I could think about was, this is what it's like to lean on God. This is what it's like. This is what his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He has that foundation. See, there was no substance, there was no strength to what I had built. It looked really nice on the outside. It looked beautiful on the inside. There was no strength, there was no substance, there was no rootedness in Christ. And so I'm fighting this battle on my own, and I continually lose. I'm continually losing, and I'm wondering why. And so now we're at the passage that I really want to focus on this morning in Matthew chapter 7. That story led me to this passage here, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Verse 24 says, therefore, anyone who hears my words, these words of mine, and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they slammed against that house, yet it didn't fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Not only did it fall, and not only did this house that was built on the sand fall, great was its fall. It was calamity, it was tragedy. And so if we really take time and reflect on our own lives, and we think about times in our life where we've been building our house on the sand and we've been trying to fight these battles on our own, we've seen how great that fall can be. And the beautiful thing is even though God is there, Jesus is there, and he's calling out and he's saying, cast it upon me, I'm walking beside you, give it to me, and we continue to try to do it on our own and we fall, he's there to pick us up. He's there to pick us up and say, it's okay. But listen, he says, heed my words. And I think sometimes we can hear this passage, and it's very easy to be passive and say, okay, well, as long as I believe in Jesus, and I read my Bible a little bit, and I pray a little bit, then that's me building it on the rock. But he says, those who heed my words. There's a responsibility and opportunity placed upon us to listen to what he has to say. To seek, earnestly seek what he wants in our lives. That's what a rock, that's what a house built on the rock looks like. It's a daily walk. It is a daily walk. The best thing I've ever heard is Jesus won the war. When he died on the cross and he was resurrected, he won that spiritual warfare a long time ago. But that doesn't keep us from battling battles every day. We have a daily battle, a daily walk that we go through. And we see from the beginning how passivity has become an enemy. Adam and Eve in the garden. God created this perfect place, Eden. They had everything. They were walking with God. And their passivity, Adam was passive, Eve was passive, the serpent was easily deceived them in their passivity. And then that's how sin's introduced into the world. That was the beginning of the tumultuous downfall of humanity that caused the need for Jesus to come. It all happened because of passivity. I personally believe passivity is the biggest enemy to the gospel. You'll hear people say it's the media, the government, non-believers. No, it's passivity. It's our unwillingness to actively participate in the walk that Christ has called us to. If you look at Jesus, Jesus is not concerned about the Romans. He is not concerned about the government. He is always in a battle with the religious leaders. He's saying, you guys have become passive. You guys have become so wrapped up in this idea that you can do this on your own, that you can earn, you can merit your own salvation. And he's saying, no, it's all about me. It's all through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. But through all of that, there's this active call. There's this active call. You know, John 8, with the stoning of the adulteress, the men bring the adulteress forward. They place her on the ground and they say, the law of Moses tells us that we are to stone her. You know, and then he says, he who has no sin cast the first stone. And we see this beautiful picture of everyone stepping away and it's just him and her. And Jesus says, is there no one left? She says, it's just me and you, Lord. And see, at that moment, if we stop that verse there, it's like, okay, then we're not allowed to judge people. You know, God's got me covered. But there is one last part of that verse that we cannot leave out. He says, go and leave your life of sin. It is an active walk. It is an active participation in trusting in God and allowing him to bring you out of that. See, my questions for you today is, have you become passive? Do you see areas in your life where maybe you've become passive? Maybe there's some areas that you're wrestling with, you're struggling with, and you've become passive on it. You've allowed it to weigh you down. You've allowed it to drag you down. Maybe there's parts of your life you've done that. Are you fighting a battle on your own? I was. I went into leading a youth retreat realizing that I was battling something on my own. I had not given it to God. Are you doing that? Are you battling something within? See, we have to cast aside. We go back to Moses when he's at the holy ground and he says, take your shoes off. We have to cast aside this idea that we have to be perfect. This idea that it's of our own thing. We have to cast aside that shame, that guilt, the desire to do things on our own. We have to cast aside that pride. Pride is what keeps us from leaning on God. It keeps us from taking his yoke. I can do this on my own. I got it. I'm strong. And that's true, but you can't do it on your own. Right? With what is impossible with man is not, what is not possible with man is not impossible with God. God is so, it can bring us out of any place that we find ourselves in. See, I think it's easy to say, well, we should just give it to God. Let go and let God. You've heard that phrase before, that cliche phrase, and it's true. We are to let go and let God. But it's not quite that easy. See, I think a lot of times when we hear this passage and we think about battles that we're going through, it's almost painted to us that the battle is over once we give it to God. But to me, the battle is just beginning. Because in that, things are going to come to light. Things are going to be brought to the surface that we're not going to like. Right? We're going to look at things that God has dredged up in this to clean it out. And we're not going to like it. When you're cleaning your house and you move the dresser to clean behind it, you're revealing some dirty stuff back there. You'll probably find some toys or some old socks, maybe even some snack wrappers back there. But that's how it works. God's saying, if you want me to help you with this, we're going to have to bring some things to light. But the beautiful thing is, he says, there's no shame in that. I took your shame on the cross. There's no regret in that. I took your regret. I heard a story. I was listening the other day. Matt Chandler was telling a story. And he said that when he was in college, he was ministering to this woman. She was a single mom, just, you know, living in a shelter and was just really struggling and had never really heard the message of the gospel. And so he met her and he started ministering to her and he started inviting her to church and inviting her to events and trying to find her support. And he said he remembered that they had a mutual friend when they were meeting and ministering together. They had a mutual friend that was playing in a band on one Sunday morning. He was helping with worship. So they said, well, let's go see him. So they went and seen him, and he said the music ended, and pastor got up. He said, today we're going to talk about sex. And he said, uh-oh. He said, that's a very dangerous subject. It's a very hard subject to maneuver. He said, but here we go. So the pastor started talking about it. So the pastor, when he first started, he had a rose, and he threw a rose to the member of the audience. He said, y'all smell that? Y'all pass that around. So he proceeds to go on and on about this. And at the end, he says, give me the rose. Who's got the rose? And said, somebody in the back comes up with the rose and it's broken. The petals, there's no more petals. It's destroyed. And he said, the pastor held it up and said, who would want this? This is what happens when you have sex with a bunch of people. This is what happens. You were just broken, dirty rose. Who would want this rose? And Matt Chandler, he said, he's sitting in the back, a college student, and he's angry. He said, I wanted to physically harm this man. He said, because all I could think is Jesus is the one who wants the rose. Jesus is the one who wants that rose. Doesn't matter what you have, what's on your shoes, when you step in that holy ground, he's saying, cast it aside. Cast it to the side. It doesn't matter. He would want that rose. See, when we let things go, when we're fighting this battle, when we're trying to keep ourselves from getting in the way of Jesus. Jesus is battling that for us. Okay? And I want that to resonate. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it gets easy. That it's like a light switch. That once you've surrendered it, it's gone. Because I would be lying to you. You would know that I'm lying to you. You would start tuning me out. That's not true. We continually battle these things daily. But the beautiful thing is we have a God who has an unconditional love. Exactly. There's no requirement. There's nothing we have to say or do before we come to him. He says, come to me as you are. I don't care how dirty, I don't care how broken, I don't care how shameful you feel. I don't care. And my wonder is, do we do that enough as a church? Not just Father's Vineyard, but the collective church. Do we do that enough? Do we truly send that message out that it doesn't matter who you are? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't matter. Jesus says, come to me as you are. We almost act as if we're a guard to this salvation. We can find ourselves acting like we're a guard and that we're only allowing certain people into the room. But what we talked about this past weekend was that God's presence was within the temple. It was separated by the veil. And then when Jesus died, that veil was torn. And we just kept pressing. You guys, talking to the youth, Everyone in this room, we are temples. We are the temples of God. We are the holy ground. We talked about the passage where it says that we are temples of God. That's been taken as, oh, well, we need to eat healthy and not have tattoos or piercings and all of these things. And that's just not what he's talking about. He's saying, you are now the face of Christ. You are now the light of Christ. You are now my hands and feet on this earth. Amen. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful because we were broken. We were sinful. We were full of this shame and this regret, and he's taken that away. But if we try to do it on our own, it's terrifying. That's a big responsibility, God. You're asking me to be the light of the earth? You're asking me to be your hands and feet? He's saying, yeah, I'm asking you to let me use you. You know, when he sends the Spirit, he doesn't say, I'm sending my Spirit to you. He says, I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending it to make it easier for you. So what are we holding on to? What are we grasping onto? What is it in our life that's built on that sand right now that's just shifting, that when there's just waiting for a storm to come and wipe it out? What is that? Is there something in your life that you're really just wrestling with? Or do you feel like the rose? Do you feel like you're just mangled and beat up and no one would want this? No one would want me. No one wants this side of me. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus does. Amen. And if we are supposed to be the light of the world, then we should too. Amen. We should welcome with open arms. Because we were all at one point that rose. We were all at one point that rose. And so I want to encourage you this morning to cast those battles, cast those things on Jesus. Take his yoke. Take his burden. He says, put that burden on me. Jesus knows what it's like to have a burden. And when we see it, the day before he's crucified, he's in the garden. And he's on his knees and he's sweating blood. He's so intensely nervous and anxious. And he's saying, God, I don't want to do this, but your will be done. If you in Scripture, we have all these stories of people being honest with God. And we've got to start being honest. It's like we think we can hide certain feelings that we have from God. Like, God, I give it all to you. He's like, I know there's something you're not giving to me. God, I fully trust you. Okay. You see, we can get into a place where we start trying to pretend that we can hide certain things from God. But when we look at Scripture, we never see that. We see Abraham begging God, if there's 40 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, spare it. If there is 30 righteous people, 20, 10. And his begging on behalf is what saved Lot and his family. Come on. You see, we have this, God knows our hearts. We just got to be honest with him. He knows that sin is riddling and sin is battling. There's that spiritual warfare. He knows it's there. He said, it's okay, be honest. Right? Moses said, I can't do this. Right? When he's calling Moses out of the burning bush, he says, you are to go into Egypt and let my people go. And Moses says, I can't even put together a sentence without stuttering. That's a paraphrase. He didn't say that, just saying. But he does. He says, I can't speak well. I can't speak in front of these people. And you can see this continual conversation with God. And God's like, it's okay. God never spites or angers at people who are honest with him. He always has a response. Right? We look at the book of Job. Job has been sitting for days with his friends, a lot of it in silence. He's getting horrible advice. His wife is saying, curse God and die. And he goes to God and he's finally like, God, I have done everything you've asked me to do. Why? Why are you doing this? And God basically says, well, who are you to question me? I mean, did you hold the seas in your hand? Did you create this? Did you create this world that you live in? And God's saying, it's okay to be honest, but you better be ready for honesty. And that's what I mean by that analogy with the dresser. When we get honest with God, God's going to get honest with us. But that's what building that life on that rock is all about. That's what casting aside those things. That's what taking our shoes off on holy ground looks like. So again, I'm calling you. I'm going to close out with this. I'm going to ask you, is there something in your life you need to let go? Is there a battle in your life you're fighting on your own and you're just continually losing? Is there shame? Is there regret? Depression, anxiety, whatever it may be, is there something that you need to cast on Jesus? Say, Jesus, I need you to help me with this. I can't fight this on my own anymore. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray, and I didn't ask them this before this, I hope it's okay, if Charlie and some of the others would come up. I'd like them just to play a song. And I'd like some of the elders and the pastors to come up, and if there's something you need to let go, we're here to listen. We're here to say what you have to say, or we're just here to pray. We're here to be with you in silence, whatever you need. Okay. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much that you fight our battles. We thank you for the opportunity, for the responsibility to be the light of the world. But we are so grateful that you tore that veil so that we could be in relationship with the Father, so that the Spirit could live within us and give us the same power reside in us as the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. So I pray today, if there's anyone here who is battling and they have nowhere to turn, that they turn to you. I pray if there's something they're holding on to, something they're struggling with, I pray that they give it to you. Amen.
I'm going to do that intro.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.